Welcome to a Catalyst for Change podcast, where we are a catalyst to inspire compassion among people, promote collaboration with leaders, and build capacity for programming. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst for Change podcast. I'm so thrilled to be with you today. My name is Lisa Rowe, and I am the host of today's show. Support After Abortion has come together to create this opportunity, this platform, because we believe that in order to end the demand for abortion, we must help those who have been impacted. Today, our guest has been personally impacted by abortion, and she is using her personal experience to bring about a message of hope and healing to those that are impacted by her. She brings a youthful message and a diverse message, and I'm just thrilled to have her on the show. Would you help me in welcoming Toni McFadden? Hi, Toni.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. We were just kind of reminiscing right before we pressed record about how we got connected, and it's providential, really, Toni. I mean, there's just nothing more that you can say about it. I'm just so grateful that our paths have crossed for such a time. And I really think your story is profound. So I'd love to open with that, Toni, if you wouldn't mind sharing with our guests a little bit about yourself and your story.
Yeah, I would love to. I just love that the Lord does not waste anything. And I love his heart that when he says he can take the ashes and make something beautiful out of it, that's what I'm standing on this morning. And I've experienced that over and over and over again. And as I look back, I could see his hand in my life, even when I was running completely, you know, away from him. But one of the primary things that happened in my foundation is I dealt with a crisis pregnancy center my senior year in high school. I was dating a guy off and on for about 2 years. It was not a healthy relationship at all. He was a year ahead of me in school, so he had already been in college at this point. And I just remember him saying when he found out, he just said, "You don't want to keep it, do you?" Like he was saying what he wanted me to do without, you know, telling me what to do. And my best friend at the time was like, "You cannot keep this baby." So those were the only two voices that I heard in a very crucial time. And I think that I let fear drive my decision, the fear of the unknown, which is why I'm so thankful for crisis pregnancy centers, even though I had no idea about them then. But they try to dismantle the lies for you, where Planned Parenthood elevates those fears and tells you, like, yeah, you can't. You're a senior in high school. You're about to go to college. You don't want your parents to find out. And they paint this picture as if they're caring for you, when really, it really destroyed me for a few years. So I was about 7 weeks along. And I remember the nurse told me when I wanted to see the monitor, when she was giving me a sonogram. And she said, "See, it's nothing. It's just the size of a pea." Now, when you're a teenager and you know nothing about fetal development, you just believe what you're told. And so I'm the first one to say I take ownership of what I did. But I think it's unfortunate that there is Planned Parenthood who is deliberately lying to women and not giving them the full education that they need to make a decision. And so I was given the RU486 pills, which this was in 1999, which the RU486 pills, the abortion pill, wasn't even approved through the FDA till 2001, I believe. So they were already giving these pills out. So talk about, like, they really care about women. So I took the first set of pills. I'm sure some of you have probably seen the movie Unplanned, very similar to that. I took the first set of pills in the abortion clinic, and then 24 to 48 hours later, I was to take the second set. I took them, they gave me two sets. The first set didn't work. I took the second set and I thought something might have happened, but didn't find out till 2 months later that the pills actually didn't work. And I suffered through hemorrhaging traumatically. And I probably should have gone to the hospital. I probably could have died from it. But I just remember how traumatic that was because no one knew it was happening. I didn't tell my parents about it. And that just really scarred me. And because as a teenager, you should not be going through something like that. And I mean, no woman, I don't care what age, should be going through something unnatural like that. So my life spiraled out of control for many years. But then, you know, the Lord came in and rescued my heart through a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ. And one night, just in my room, realizing these students had something that I didn't have. And I really believe the Lord rescued me from myself that night. And because he knew I didn't like who I was. He knew I had no idea what I was doing with my life. And he knew the dark places of my heart that I didn't want others to see. And what he revealed to me is his grace and his mercy and what he did for me on the cross, which began to make more sense because I had grown up going to church here and there, but I didn't have a relationship with the Lord, and it didn't affect the way my worldview, it didn't affect my entire life. And so obviously when God rescues you and he begins to surround you with what you need. And as years went by, I did begin to expose that I had an abortion. Now I'll say that it took me 3 years after becoming a believer, because I thought that was the one thing Christians wouldn't forgive me for. And a lot of it was because of the approach that was given, that I just thought, oh, I'll just take this to the grave, just Jesus and I. But he loves us too much to keep us where we are. And our stories are not about us. It's about setting other people free. And I worked for a crisis pregnancy center for over 6 years. And I spoke in schools on saving sex for marriage. And I was vulnerable with my story. I went through post-abortion counseling through that. I did Forgiven and Set Free by Linda Cochran, a 12-week Bible study. And the Lord just really guided me from there. And he just keeps, you know, during that time, just kept healing me, and then brought my husband along, who some of you may know, almost 10 years later, the same guy that I had the abortion with came back to apologize and ended up becoming my husband. So we've been married for almost 11 or close to 12 years now. And God has blessed us with 4 beautiful children, and, you know, actually 5, one is in heaven, and we were able to honor our unborn baby at our wedding, which, you know, I felt like that was the icing on the cake with the Lord. He didn't have to do that. You know, I was already on the healing journey, he's ever since then, God has continued to allow me to share my story, and specifically in this season, really approaching the Black genocide that is affecting the Black community when it comes to abortion. And so that's where I'm at now. I know it's amazing.
Well, but it's so much to unpack, and there's so many pieces of that that I feel like are so important for people to hear. So if we can start with your abortion experience, I mean, you had every vulnerability walking into that abortion clinic. You had the coercion from a boyfriend that you cared for, right? You had the lack of knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. And so you were easy to influence and to really fall victim to that experience. And so, you know, in the work that you've done in the pregnancy center, speaking to teenagers and what you're doing with Students for Life, talk to me about how common that is, you know, from your perspective.
Oh my goodness. It's so common, because at that age, middle school, high school, and even college, you're still looking to adults to guide you and kind of help shape your worldview. And so at that age, I needed someone to tell me, okay, this is normal. This is natural for you to have all these feelings, but they're just feelings. You're not going to stay in this forever. And there's help, you know, you need that perspective. And so years later, even after I ended up telling my parents, they were devastated, because they were like, we would have helped. We would never have said, have an abortion. And that's what Planned Parenthood does though. They set it up while they're in our schools. They're grooming these kids to not trust their parents, but to come to them. And that's exactly, I mean, Planned Parenthood was the first place I thought of because they're so good at their marketing to bring and suck these girls into this false narrative that they care for them. And again, you know, as you know, 17, 18, 19 year old, you know, you're not, your brain is not fully mentally ready or developed to make these kind of decisions, which is why we need a healthy home as well. And so every time I would speak in these classrooms, they had this perspective that, oh, sex is no big deal. You can have sex with whoever you want to, you're young. And when I would get in there and tell them, you don't have to have sex, that you're worth more. And if you have had sex, your value as a person hasn't changed, but the fact that your heart is broken, that's matters. That's important. Silence in the room, chills, because they want to hear that. Like, even if it's not popular, there's just silence in the room because that's what truth does. It makes you look outside of, you know, this like narrative, this easy, you know, path that everyone's going and saying, wait a second, like maybe there is another way. And this hurt that I'm feeling, the kids in the classroom, they know just as much as you do. They can't help you in this moment. And here you have an adult saying, here's what I've been on both sides, you know, because at the time I wasn't married. And I was saying, I'm waiting until I'm married now, but yet I've experienced, you don't have to do that. And so a lot of people don't want to see perfection. They want to hear how you survived out of the difficulty as well. So language, approach, grace, all of those have to stem through how you speak to people.
Absolutely, because not only is it Planned Parenthood, Tony, I mean, our social media and the way TikTok's being elevated and Instagram, oh my goodness. I mean, all of it, I went on this like journey one Saturday morning to just better understand who's speaking into our youth and what is the message about abortion, about miscarriage, about reproductive loss as a whole, suicide, depression. And I was astounded, Tony, to see the things that I had witnessed on TikTok from girls showing how depressed they were when they found out they were pregnant. They said abortion, and then they're like celebrating. And I'm like, I just couldn't wrap my head around it based on the experiences of those women that I've walked alongside who, you know, are confused because they're like, wait a second, everybody told me that I'd feel better. And I felt relief. And I want people to hear that. Like, that's a very common feeling after abortion, because it's like, okay, I'm free of the thing that was causing me stress. But then it instantly kicks in and it's like, wait a second, I still don't feel relief. I feel something else, but nobody says I'm supposed to feel sad now. Everybody says I'm supposed to be relieved and move on with my life and live free as a woman. I mean, how do we combat that, Tony?
Well, I think the problem is kids are so desensitized right now.
It's good.
And they are just being bombarded on every level through music, through like everything. And it's like the one-on-ones that you get with them are powerful. I've had one-on-ones through Instagram with a girl. She was probably like 15 years old. And at first she was like very angry, like, da-da-da-da. And then when I shared a little bit more of my experience, she was like, oh wow. Like, no one's ever talked to me like a normal teenager, or all the walls started to like kind of come down because I saw her as a person and gave her a voice, even though it was angry in the beginning. And not to get offended so easily. Now, and I'm saying this to myself, because some days I'm just not in the right mode mentally, and people will say things to me that I want to clap back real, you know, and defend myself. But I have to realize, like, you know, this isn't not towards me. They're not angry really towards me. This is their, I'm representing the fact that they need healing. And so that's why I'm consistent with my pro-life message, regardless of the stuff that they think is true, because if their life changes down the road, they're going to remember who spoke truth to them. So we may not see it all right now. We may not see a lot of it until we're in heaven, but it's being consistent. It's being obedient to what God's called us to, regardless of how they're going to treat us, or because really they're crying out for love. Like they want acceptance, and they think acceptance is supposed to look a certain way. And when you're bombarded on your phone constantly, and Instagram's algorithms, whatever you look at the most, those are the types of things that are going to keep coming up. So if it's lies that you're constantly looking at, that's what's going to keep popping up on your Instagram feed, you know? So yes, there's a lot to combat, but truth always prevails, and truth does not come back void. And so I think we also have to not be afraid to engage in that realm, because it's easier to just like go in our little comfy, like all my pro-life people and all, but like you did, like that's challenging to me. Let me enter into that world and see what they're talking about, and see, like, we need to do that. I think that's a challenge for us as believers to, you know, go into that. I mean, I hate going to the Women's March, but I go because you never know whose mind you can change. It's hostile. Like, it is like a lot of angry women at those. But you'll always find a few who are on the fence and are watching and are observers. And you can't always just pay attention to the people who are loud. You got to kind of look for the ones who are kind of on the fence and don't really know where they're supposed to be. So I think it's great that you did that. That's a challenge to me, because I can't stand TikTok. Stay away from it.
Well, I got to tell you, Tony, it really came out of this new group that we've started called Keys to Hope and Healing, which is the non-faith forward approach. We attracted 8 women under the age of 30 that were within, like, probably the furthest one from her abortion was 4 years, which, you know, the industry standard is like 20 to 40 years. And we don't see women coming out of their denial until they're 40, 50, 60 years old. And most of them are white women. And so, Tony, I commend you to be standing in that gap for African-Americans and being able to speak to the Black genocide, that you being somebody that you can look across the screen or look across the hall and say, I can connect with her. She's my same skin color. She's had similar experiences. And that's what we're striving to do at Support After Abortion, is how can we become relatable enough so that those lies that they're seeing and hearing, there's some truth that is exposed as a result. Because like you said, Planned Parenthood, the message is out there, and people want to believe these lies, because we all do. If I made a mistake, I want to find the next person that's going to tell me, no, that wasn't a mistake. You deserved that. Or stealing is perfect because you don't have any money. How are you going to feed your kids? Like, we want to find people. We are attracted to people in our darkness that will affirm our dark choices. You know, and so as you were sharing your story, you talked about, you know, the messaging. Like, I was afraid to tell Christians because of the messaging. Can you unpack that for us a little bit more, Tony? What was the message that you were receiving?
Well, I experienced when I was in school, I would walk to work, and there were a bunch of people outside near a Planned Parenthood as I would walk to work, and they handed me like a newspaper kind of thing. And I opened it, and it was an aborted baby. And I was just like, okay, what do I do with that? And of course, it brought me right back to my own abortion. And I just thought, okay, they're not thinking, I mean, years later, I'm thinking about this now, but I'm like, were they thinking about the post-aborted woman walking by? Or are they just trying to get the information out and saying, you know what I mean? Like, you got to think about every kind of person, not just don't end the life of the baby. We have to go beyond that, because that's what the pro-life people get criticized for. They say, oh, all we care about is the baby not being aborted, but we don't care about, which is untrue. Like I know, there are so many organizations, so many people who are providing beyond the pregnancy. But those are the main things that people say a lot of the times. But for me specifically, that in my brain was like, see, you can't tell Christians because this is how they see abortion and this is how they see a woman who's had an abortion. You're like, you're scarred. Like you can't, you know. But what happened, how I unleashed that was that when I got connected with this crisis pregnancy center, the girl at the time that was running the abstinence program sat down with me and told me what she did. And as she was talking, you know, when you feel the Holy Spirit, like you're going to share your whole story. And I opened up to her out of faith and shared my story. And she just bawled her eyes out and gave me compassion in that moment. And that began to dismantle the lie for me that all Christians think this way because it was untrue. So God will meet, you know, us where we are because we don't do it perfectly. And I know a lot of people have a good heart behind, you know, wanting to fight for babies because they are like they're vulnerable. They can't march through the streets. They can't defend themselves. They need an advocate. So I understand that. But at the same time, because of what I've experienced, my approach, I'm always thinking about the post-abortive woman. I'm always thinking about the teenager who needed truth in that moment and didn't receive it. Like I'm always, because of, you know, my own experience, I'm not just thinking, we got to save the baby, we got to save the baby. Like there's this girl right now who I'm helping. She was scared. She was about to have an abortion. And she ended up not, but I know she's in a difficult situation in her life. And you've got to go beyond that, you know? So we set up a baby registry for her. She's gotten everything she needs for her baby and even beyond, you know? But she needs mentorship too. What is it? That's why I love these crisis pregnancy centers. They're giving you parenting classes and showing you what you need to do to be a good parent and to break the cycle, because that's the other thing. It's like breaking this generational cycle right now. And just as a Black woman, I think speaking to the Black community is, it's like one of the hardest avenues, the hardest place to enter into, because I don't know if it's because of the way that Planned Parenthood was developed to literally eliminate us, that we still have that over our community, but they are the hardest to speak to on this topic. It's so difficult. I mean, I get most of my hate stuff from Black women that don't wanna hear it.
Right.
Unless they're ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Denial. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, as you were talking, I really found myself reflecting on the neurological science of the brain that's developed over the last, 10 years. And what mm-hmm. you're sharing is the difference between the left brain and the right brain. You know, if we're going to access somebody's trauma and we're going to really affect change in their life, we've got to access the right brain. And what you experienced walking by that Planned Parenthood when you saw that abortive baby, that's just knowledge, right? That was a left brain entry that just made you feel disgusting. And so you locked it away. And put it somewhere. You know, we get math problems through our left brain. We think knowledge comes in there, but the right brain is where our trauma is stored. And it's only through relationship and experience that we can break those barriers. And that's powerful. What you're defining. So there's actually science to prove why it's not working, why the old way can't continue anymore. Mm-hmm. We actually have brain science to say, the scare tactic, it's not doing anything. It's pushing people away.
Right.
The relationship that you've experienced with this particular woman and throughout now, and entering in with this woman and saying, how can I help you? How can I be with you? Not give to you, not direct. How can I be with you? Changes everything for somebody.
It does. It really does. That gives me chills. That's really, really powerful. And I think that this is why it's very unique with what I do, because I can, I've studied and I understand what abortion is, how it affects you, but I also have my story to bring alongside of it to let you know, I'm not just giving you facts. I'm not just giving you like I'm saying, I've experienced this firsthand too, but there's also healing that can be had and you don't have to stay in this place. So I'm handing out hope, you know, and healing at the same time as knowledge, so that they don't make the same mistake again, or someone doesn't enter into that mistake at all, which is why a separate from Students for Life, I have another ministry called Relationships Matter, because relationships matter. Like, they're so important beyond anything. I mean, when you're on your deathbed someday, you're not gonna care about how much money you have and all the things you have. You're gonna care about the people that are in your lives. And so the reason I call it Relationships Matter is because we have to approach things in a relational way to let people know we care about them. And it's not just about coming in with an agenda. I mean, when I talk to Students for Life students and I educate them on how to approach Black genocide and speaking to those who are Black to understand this, you can't come at it with, did you know? That's ask them questions, see where they're at, see what they even think about abortion, or just go to coffee and get to know them as a person, enter into their world. Don't just come in with the, people can tell when you're just there for an agenda and you just want to push your point without seeing them, without caring about their experience and where they've come. Yes, they might be believing lies, but where did those lies come from? And, you know, how do you help them dismantle those lies? And listening really to the Holy Spirit, when to speak, when not to speak. And I mean, we can't do that, you know, on our own. We have to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit and what he's saying, because he knows their hearts, he knows their lives, he knows exactly what they need to hear in those moments. So I think the key thing is walking in step with the Spirit, or it's not going to happen.
Absolutely. And you know, another thing that you just said that brought me back to school is, you know, when sociologists go into communities, whether it's in an Indian community or in a third world country, they assess the lay of the land and they say, like, who has the most influence here? Is it the pastor? Is it the father figure? Who is it? Because if they're going to make change and bring influence, and really, why is it that all these other industries, Tony, really get it, but we are, I feel like the pro-life movement is behind the eight ball in learning how to study and catch up. I mean, we need to get to where people are. We're not dealing with surgical abortions most of the time anymore. Right. We're dealing with the woman who just took the pill like you did and goes, oh my gosh, I saw my baby in my hands and it actually had fingers and sockets. And oh my gosh, it was a baby after all. And now I'm supposed to flush it down the toilet. I mean, there's an instant awareness that the lie that they believed was not the truth. And so what can we do? We're running out of time. What, Tony, do you feel like the number one thing, and maybe that's hard to do, maybe there's more than one thing, but like, what is your main priority in entering into the Black community, entering in with young people, and really helping them understand that abortion does hurt and there's another way?
Well, my whole approach is, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Please just give me 20 minutes, 25 minutes of your time to just hear my perspective. And you choose what you want to do after that, because we got to not come in a debate mode. Like, I'm just who I am. I'm a very relational person. And if I could sit down with people one-on-one, that's more of my approach, but we don't have time really right now with the Black community and the rate of abortion, that I need to get in front of as many Black people as I can to sound the alarm, but I want them to know, like, I think my title would be Know Your Real Enemy. I'm not your enemy. You know, I'm not your enemy. I'm here to give you this perspective that you're not hearing. Would you please give me time to just express this, and you choose to do what you want to do when you leave? That's what, that would be my heart and my approach. And with Students for Life, my job is to get into the historically Black colleges. It's very difficult to do that. And, but that if you could pray anything, that would be my prayer, that God would open doors, that I would be able to stand before them and teach them who their real enemy is and be able to share that.
Hallelujah, sister. We are totally supporting that and whatever we can do to be with you on that. Oh my gosh. So Tony, how can somebody reach you if they're interested in Relationship Matters, Students for Life, connecting with you on Instagram? Tell us how they can get in touch with you.
With Students for Life, my email, they can reach me at tmcfadden@studentsforlife.org. That's my email for that. And for Relationships Matter, if you would love for me to come and speak at your church, your youth group, it's just tonymcfadden.com. And that's Tony with an I. And Instagram, it's tonymcfadden12.
Awesome. And we were so astounded with your church presentation that you did at your church for Sanctity of Life Sunday in January. So we have that on our Facebook and our Instagram page. You have an anointing on your life, girl, and I'm grateful to be connected with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. And thank you to everyone else who chose to join us today. We are so excited about messages like this because it is really important that we become a catalyst for change. If you're interested in learning more or being trained on becoming a catalyst, visit us at our website at supportafterabortion.com.
Thank you for joining us today. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, you are not alone. Contact us today at supportafterabortion.com. If you were inspired by today's message, we welcome you to join the conversation by following us on Facebook or Instagram.